What's up and welcome to episode 62 of the Jake Talk Sports Podcast. Couple things to address before we get into the content. First of all, the podcast has been kind of MIA recently. I've just been super busy, with a ton of stuff with work, with my internship at my church, and with making other content and stuff. I have been streaming on YouTube, and I have been posting TikToks consistently. So if you don't follow me on TikTok, it's JakeTalkSports03 there. If you don't follow me on Twitter, it's JakeTalkSports03 there. You can find my link tree in both of those bios. That's where you find all my platforms. That's where you find all my other content. But the podcast should be back in full swing now that I'm actually finding some time to do it. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about a few news things that we haven't addressed yet. Elijah Moore, some Robbie Anderson stuff, some potential CMC trades. Then we're going to hop right into a week 7 preview because this episode's coming out probably like 30 minutes before the week kicks off with Cardinals Saints. So, yeah. All right, let's hop right into some of the NFL news that we haven't really addressed on the podcast, starting with Robbie Anderson getting traded to the Cardinals for your standard late round pick package. I mean, he could have gone anywhere, if I'm being real, anywhere that even remotely needed a receiver. He is a good wide receiver, man. There's too much Robbie Anderson slander going on. He had like 400 yards last year. I think he had like a total of 700 something in his time in Carolina or something, not even like 1,000 yards. And people were like, oh, this guy sucks. Who were his quarterbacks in Carolina? Darnold, Bridgewater, Mayfield, PJ Walker. I mean, come on, Cam Newton. I mean, come on, bro. And Cam Newton likes DJ Moore, so that wasn't going to happen for him. I don't know, dude, and Cam Newton also sucked. I'm sorry, I'm getting off track. The thing is with Robbie Anderson is that he is not like this bottom-tier receiver. He's a really good depth piece on a team, and that's exactly what he's going to be with the Cardinals. I don't know what his role is going to look like if Hollywood comes back. Obviously, he suffered a potential season-ending injury. I'm not entirely sure if it's actually season-ending yet or not. I don't know if I missed that news or not, but as of right now, to my knowledge, he's not been confirmed a season-ending. But if Hollywood comes back, I'm interested to see where his role in that offense is, because right now, he's filling the Hollywood role. You know, he's going to be the guy going out for all the deep routes. He's going to be going up and getting those balls that Kyler can throw really well, those like just deep, like hole shots, stuff like that, anything on the sidelines. And, you know, D-Hop does that kind of stuff too, but D-Hop is a lot more refined and technical of a route runner. Robbie Anderson's first game as a Cardinal should be tonight. So I guess we'll see how he does, and we'll definitely be without Hollywood Brown, so he'll be the wide receiver too for sure. And you have AJ Green still. I mean, this is a really good depth piece for the Cardinals. If they're trying to get this offense moving, if they're trying to kind of revamp it after a sluggish start, adding a good receiver to the mix is definitely not a bad move. And they didn't give up too much for him. The thing is, they're going to be paying him so much money, and that's why everybody was saying that nobody would trade for Robbie Anderson because he carries so much dead money with him. But the Panthers are taking a lot of that. He will be getting paid, I think, $10 million, something like that. I think $10 million next year by the Cardinals. Have to figure that out. I mean, this front office is notably bad. Like, people know that this front office is bad. People know that Cliff Kingsbury is bad. So this was kind of an immediate, like, LOL Cardinals moment when that first happened. But in reality, this isn't the worst thing they could have done. And, you know, they do need to improve the defense before the deadline. I don't know how they're going to do that. If they really want to contend, they'll have to address that in the offseason most likely, and not the deadline, because there's nobody really available right now that I would think you can make a trade target for them. Maybe Robert Quinn. But, you know, this team is not built to contend right now, I don't think, but this offense should be a little bit better with Robbie Anderson. Talking about receivers that might get traded, Elijah Moore, after six games into his sophomore year in the NFL, has requested a trade. And, man, I'm going to read the tweet that I tweeted about this. So I think that's explains my thoughts on this perfectly. Let me look real quick. This is super interesting, seeing a guy who's six games into a sophomore season already fed up with the team. Like, I get it, he's talented, but they don't trust their QB enough to throw the ball an amount of times for him to see real volume. That is the thing. Okay? When Joe Flacco was in, he threw the ball 50, maybe even sometimes 60 times in a game. Zach Wilson, I don't think, has broken 25, maybe even 20. He might have had exactly 20 in these past few games. The ball is not going to go to anybody at a high volume rate, because basically the trade request is because he's apparently frustrated with his role and frustrated with his production and his volume. He only had one target in the Packers game, which, again, like, I get it. Like, you're mad about that, but Zach Wilson's your quarterback. Zach Wilson's a quarterback. Zach Wilson had 18 passing attempts against the Packers. Note that 18 passing attempts against the Packers. Against the Dolphins, Zach Wilson had 21. Telling you he will not have broken 25. And against the Steelers in his first game back, okay, he had 36. So one game out of the three he started, he's broken 25 passing attempts. The volume just isn't going to be there for guys who aren't Garrett Wilson. Or like Corey Davis is just a veteran who's more like adjusted to the league and more adjusted to what he has to do to get open. I mean, Elijah Moore's good, but there was an unreal amount of hype for what seems to me to be no reason against for like Elijah Moore. He's good. I think he's okay. He's a good death piece, but he is not a wide receiver one in the NFL. That's what people have to understand. Because people are like, oh, well, Elijah Moore's the wide receiver one, like, hands down. Like, when, before they drafted Wilson, they were like, yeah. I mean, yeah, Elijah Moore is obviously the wide receiver one there. But in reality, even if they hadn't drafted Wilson, I guarantee you, like, Corey Davis would be the wide receiver one at this point. He might even be now. Like, he's not a wide receiver one in the NFL, Elijah Moore isn't, but he's a good death piece. If he gets traded, he's going to really make an impact on the team.
If you're the Packers and you're listening to this, please, for the love of God, just do something. I don't care. Trade Rodgers. We'll take Zach Wilson. It's fine. It's fine.
All right, enough with the news. Let's move on to the Week 7 preview. We didn't really touch on CMC trade options, but I think it's pretty simple. I think he's going to an AFC team. I think it's probably going to be the Bills. I think that he definitely is probably going to be a Panther for the rest of the year. But if he isn't, I think Buffalo is just a really, really good option for him. So looking at this week, week seven, looking at my picks, I'm going to go through every game, talk about who I picked and why, basically, just to preview week seven here. So starting off with the Thursday night game tonight, who do I have between the Cardinals and the Saints? I have the Arizona Cardinals. The Saints stink. Even with Jameis, they stink, and they don't have Jameis, and I don't even know if they have Andy Dalton. If they don't have any Dalton, it's Taysom Hill, and that is game because he can't throw the football. The guy is a fantastic runner. He's a fantastic Swiss Army knife. This is exactly what he's built for, but he isn't like this top-tier quarterback when he's on the field actually having to play the quarterback running the offense. You're going to see a lot of RPOs with him. You see a lot of options where he just takes off and runs. He's probably going to throw a pick or so. If he plays, it might be Andy Dalton, but the Saints, either way, they stink. The defense is overrated. People are like, they're the best defense in football. They're a top five defense. What have they done to prove that this year? Absolutely nothing. Tyrann Mathieu can't tackle. Ja'Marr Chase made him his son in that one play against the Bengals last week. I think this defense is good enough to keep up with Kyler. I think that D-Hop coming back is going to be a major issue for the secondary. Robbie Anderson should be okay if he ends up playing. Kyler, like I just said, Kyler, I'm backing up my Kyler top five take all day. I think he's really, really good. He's going to destroy this defense. Enough said. I mean, Saints don't have a quarterback. Cardinals have a very good quarterback. Usually a recipe for a Cardinals win. But who knows? Because the Cardinals have been pretty shaky this year. Browns-Ravens. I got the Ravens. I considered locking them, actually. I'm not going to do that, though. There's another game I'm locking because it's pretty obvious. But listen, the Browns' defense is atrocious. They are so bad. And they're like, they're a very, like, superstar, like, foolish defense. That didn't really use the right term there. They fool you with the amount of, like, big talent they have, even. Like, you look at a few names like Myles Garrett, I mean, Jadeveon Clowney, everybody knows who that is. Everybody knows who, like, Denzel Ward is and everything. But their defense sucks. Their front seven is one of the worst in football. The secondary, their safeties are bad. The corners outside of Denzel Ward really aren't proven and really aren't, like, fantastic. I think Greg Newsom has some good potential and stuff. JOK is a good linebacker, but he's not, like, this big, like, run-stopping linebacker. The run defense sucks. Lamar's going to torture him, I think, with his legs. I think he's still in the MVP conversation. I don't think he's the front runner anymore, but this is a good bounce-back game for them, especially seeing as that, like, they just lost to the Giants. So they need a win here. Although the Giants, I'm trying not to make them a joke as much because I think they are legit. But yeah. Moving on to my lock for the week. Give me the Buccaneers over the Panthers. Pound that Bucs money line, dude. They are going to absolutely obliterate this team. Maybe not obliterate because they have looked bad. Their offensive line sucks. Brian Burns is a good pass rusher. I don't think it'll be like a blowout, but it definitely will be a pretty short-handed Bucs win, in my opinion. I mean, the Panthers just suck, and they are not supposed to be good. They fired their coach. They're probably going to clean house. I mean, they already fired two of their coaches. They're probably going to clean house in the front office. They're probably going to draft the quarterback. They're going to lose enough games to the point where they might get the one seed at this point. Because they're like 1-5 right now. They're going to be 1-6. No end in sight for the misery of Panthers fans. Unfortunately, Tom Brady comes in to Carolina, does his job. They come out 4-3. They drop the lowly Carolina Panthers down to 1-6. Falcons and Bengals. Give me the Cincinnati Bengals. Falcons have looked very good on offense for some reason. And the reason being, Arthur Smith is not a bad head coach. He seems like he's a bad head coach because he's a coach of a team that everybody thinks is bad or considers to be bad because Marcus Mariota is their quarterback. And he's just not like this flamboyant, like super energetic coach like Dan Campbell is, which is why people tell you Dan Campbell's a good coach, but Arthur Smith isn't. Arthur Smith's 3-3. Dan Campbell's, what, 1-4? Yeah. I'm not knocking Dan Campbell as much as I am praising Arthur Smith, but
can we talk about the Lions?
Well, we will in the next little segment here. So, Falcons-Bengals, I still do think that this defense is not good enough to contain Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Mixon and possibly T. Higgins coming back. I don't see a way out of it for the Falcons. Their offense is good, but they're not going to be able to keep up with a high-powered offense like the Bengals. They do a lot of creative stuff and good ways to kind of disguise the fact that the quarterback is still Marcus Mariota, and I commend them for that, but their little Cinderella run ends here, at least for the moment. Lions-Cowboys, give me the Cowboys. Dak Prescott's coming back. Lions are 1-4. Their defense is atrocious. Dak's going to be able to pick him apart, I think. This could be another, like, Lions-Seahawks situation, which is a shootout, because the Lions' offense, except against the Patriots, has been pretty good. And so they could potentially put up some points, but that Dallas defense has been historic this year, so I don't even know about that. So I think the defense does its job, even if the offense is a little sluggish with Dak coming back his first week back. They will be fine. Dak has a disaster class. Nobody panic. Nobody call for Cooper Rush because this is his first game back off of an injury. And he's facing an offense that might put some pressure on him. Giants and Jags. This is a tough game to pick. I think I'm going to take... I'm taking the Jags. I already tweeted out my picks. I'm taking the Jags. The Giants... I don't imagine a world where this team starts 6-1. 5-2 is not a bad record at all. I think the Jaguars bounce back. I do think, and I said this, and TikTok said this, I'm not thinking on the last podcast episode, I think people just jump the gun too much on the Jaguars. I mean, I think that they are okay. I think they're good, but they're not like this contending team. I don't think they're going to win their division. I think the Colts have looked okay, and the Titans have looked okay. Okay enough to be better than the Jags so far this year. But the Jags have, like, the brightest future in the AFC South by a mile. Texans are bottom feeder. You know, the Colts have no answer at quarterback no matter what. The Titans, they're probably going to be out of a quarterback pretty soon here with Tannehill. Their camera's getting older. Their defense isn't great. The brightest future in the AFC South is the Jaguars, but I don't think it's this year. That being said, I think the Giants are bound for a slip-up at some point. I don't think they just continue this miracle, like, one-loss run. So I think the Jaguars ended here on Sunday. I think that's pretty good analysis for that. Packers-Commanders, I am pounding that Packers money line. They are not great, but this is a Taylor Heineke-led Commanders team that just squeaked past the Bears. I think we will be okay. I think. This is another stupid game the Packers could blow, and I'm going to be very, very upset if they do. The Giants, I was like, okay. You know, the Giants have been good this year. The Jets, I'm like, okay, they're actually pretty hot this year. The Commanders, though? If Riverboat Ron comes in, I mean, we're going to Washington, but if we go into Washington and Riverboat Ron outcoaches Matt LaFleur, I am pushing the Matt LaFraud narratives so hard, you won't even be able to blink. The second that game ends, I'm tweeting it out. I'm going to have a scheduled tweet saying Matt LaFleur sucks and here's why. A huge thread is ready to post. In all reality, the Packers are going to kick their butts. They're going to destroy them. This is going to be a bounce back game for the Packers. Colts-Titans. I'm taking the Colts. I don't think it's probable that the Titans will sweep them. It is weird to me that the Colts have played two full division series in the span of 7 weeks, or they will have after the Sunday. Like, four of their seven games have been against division opponents. And if they split both of those series, I think they like where they're at, especially splitting against the Jags, seeing as they've kind of gotten owned by the Jaguars recently in recent memory. And then the Titans, I like Derrick Henry. But I like Jonathan Taylor the same, if not maybe a little more. Don't tell people about that. They're going to get mad at me. But I just think overall it's going to be pretty mid-game. Two just mid-quarterbacks battling it out. Second time in 3 weeks we see Matt Ryan go up against another mid quarterback. I'm not going to do Trevor Lawrence like that quite yet. But give me the Colts in this game. I don't think they're going to get swept. It's a division game. They'll play it tough. I like their chances. Texans Raiders, another game that I thought about locking. Raiders are underperforming, but they are not Texans level bad. The Texans did play the Chargers pretty hard a couple weeks ago. So I do not. The reason I didn't lock it is because I see a path to victory more for the Texans than I do the Panthers this week. I think the Texans can do it, but I don't think they will. I think they're capable. They are a bad team. Davis Mills, I don't think, is the answer at quarterback. I don't think there's anybody in the NFL circles who are saying that Davis Mills is the answer at quarterback. He's been good for what he was, which is like a late-round rookie. I mean, a quarterback out of Stanford, late-round, usually probably isn't going to work out. And he was good last year, statistically the best rookie quarterback. Doesn't mean much in this class because they've all been kind of mood. But honestly, like I said, I don't think he's the answer. Their defense is bad. I mean, they have a terrible run defense, and Josh Jacobs has been on a tear recently. So that alone could account for a Raiders W. Jets Broncos. Give me the Jets, dude. This might be my upset pick. This is definitely an upset by like odds standpoints, I guarantee you. I don't think it is as much, though. Jets have been pretty good these past few weeks. Zach Wilson is going to have some trouble because whoever they line up Pat Surtain against, they're not going to get any separation. I fear and I can foresee him forcing some balls in the direction of Pat Surtain, and maybe one of them gets picked off, or at least they're going to get broken up. It'll either be like Corey Davis, or if Garrett Wilson comes back, it'll probably be him. But whoever they put Pat Surtain on is going to not be able to get a separation. That'll most likely be the guy that Wilson looks to first. So we're going to really see him get tested to see if he can like read the field, go through his progressions, and make throws outside of the guys that he's just staring down. But I do think they'll get it done. The Jets defense has been on fire recently. And a good defense usually has been able to slow down a Broncos offense. Even the Chargers game last week, it was pretty low scoring because the Chargers defense just gave Russell Wilson a very, very bad time. Chiefs Niners is one of the games of the week. I'm taking the Chiefs. I think that their offense can seriously outpace this 49ers offense. The 49ers defense is historic generational this year, but it is Patrick Mahomes, and I trust him to beat that defense more than I trust Jimmy G to keep up with Patrick Mahomes. This could definitely be a 49ers win just solely because that defense is so good, but they could be missing Armstead and Bosa. You miss either of those guys, you're in trouble. You miss both of them, that pass rush is very, very, very mid. So we'll see what happens there, but for now, I'm still taking the Chiefs. I don't think I would take the Niners even if both of those guys were confirmed to be healthy. Seahawks Chargers, give me the Chargers. Seahawks are good, but they aren't good enough to beat these top-tier teams. I think the Chargers, despite kind of a slow game on Monday night against the Broncos, are a top-tier team in the NFL. And they're going to beat down on the Seahawks. Their Seahawks defense is so bad. There are a few shining stars, Tariq Woolen, prime example of that, but they aren't ready to compete, and they aren't ready to beat the Chargers team, I don't think. Steelers, Dolphins. Give me the Dolphins. Tua's back. Steelers are coming off of a fluke win against the Bucs. Not much else to say. I just don't think the Steelers are really that good at all. And the Dolphins, with Tua back, I think are seriously going to prove why they need him and why Teddy isn't the answer for them, even if people are like, bench Tua, that's why they signed Teddy. No, that's not why they signed Teddy. Signed Teddy to have a competent backup. But he is not going to work in this offense as well as Tua does. It's a perfect offense for Tua, and he's going to show that. Bears, Patriots, give me the Patriots. I've sworn that I will never pick the Bears in any game, no matter how big of favorites they are, and they're not a favorite in this game anyway. Belichick's going to out-coach the crap out of Eberflus. He's going to show the league that, first of all, it doesn't matter if you're a better team than the Patriots, they'll still beat you, or they'll still play you really close. They played really close on the Packers. Packers are better than the Bears. I think the Patriots will take care of business here. And they're coming off of two, like, blowout wins over the Browns, who, bad defense, and the Lions, bad defense. But both teams whose offenses had been okay and been kind of their bright spot. And they've still been shut them down defensively because Belichick's such a good coach. So, yeah, that is my Week 7 preview. And that is going to be it for this episode. If you guys did enjoy, be sure to do everything you can on whatever platform you're listening to help the podcast out. I really appreciate that. And we will see you in episode 63 when we break down Week 7. And we talk about whether or not I was right. See you then.